We're drawing near to the Passover, April 21st. It should be our most solemn evening of the year for us. How is your relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, Mr. Kubik just made mention of that, our relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Do you really feel a closeness to Christ as your Savior? Or are there times when maybe He is distant from you? If you would, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, where Paul admonishes the church at Corinth there that they are to examine themselves with regard to before they take the Passover. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. This is in regards to taking the Passover. Therefore, Paul says, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So before we come to the Passover, we need to realize what we're taking when we take of the bread and the wine. What it really means to us. Do we understand that He is our Savior? Do we examine ourselves to see, you know, do I really understand this evening, this meaning of taking the bread and wine, the symbols, what they mean to me? For as we go on here, Paul continues on, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, many have died because they had not understood about taking the Passover, its meaning. For we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. For if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I'll set in order when I come. So it sounds like back then there were some that maybe came to take of the Passover to eat, a meal there. No, that is not what the Passover is, to eat just a physical meal. But we are to examine ourselves, as Paul says. Hopefully, by the end of this message, you will be cherishing the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. I'd like to read from our fundamental beliefs, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, what we have in our fundamental belief, and then go into the scriptures supporting it. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We believe God so loved the world of helpless sinners that He gave His only begotten Son, who, though in all points tempted as we are, He lived without sin in the human flesh. That Son, Jesus Christ, died as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. His life, because He is the creator of all humanity, is of greater value than the sum total of all human life. His death is therefore sufficient to pay the penalty for every human being's sin. In paying this penalty, He has made it possible, according to God's plans for each person and for humanity as a whole, to have their sins forgiven and to be released from the death penalty. You know, that is found in our booklet that we have, the Fundamental Beliefs of the Church of God. Over in Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 18 through 21, if you turn over there with me, we'll read something about this fleshly body that we have. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 18 through 21. This is Solomon writing. He says, I said in my heart concerning the conditions of the sons of men, God tests them, that they may see that they themselves are like animals. That means just from the flesh. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animal. one thing befalls him. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. Meaning all is temporary. Animals are temporary on earth. We are temporary as human beings in this flesh. We are just temporary. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all return to the dust. But who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth. So we see here then, there is something different. Our spirit as a human being, when we die, goes up to God. He's aware of us. We aren't lost forever. We're not just laying in the ground, be forgotten, like that of the flesh of an animal, as it says here. So I perceive that nothing is better than that man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? So we see then that in the physical, we're just like the animals. We live a certain time, minutes to years, and then we die. But we are different than the rest of God's creation. There is more to come for mankind other than this fleshly existence. But it is only possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Without his sacrifice, this life experience would be all there is. Nothing. Nada. Not a thing. But it is Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. We have been created in God's image with the spirit of man. Our loving Creator knew we needed the Ten Commandments to follow for true happiness. But not one of us can be found blameless, for we all have broken the commandments. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6, 23 tells us the results of sin, which is death. So let us for a few moments picture ourselves on death row, which we actually are. You know, it isn't like we're sitting in a 3D movie, but we are on death row. For we all have been found guilty of the charges brought against us where we have sinned. And you know there's always more than one charge. For when we have broken one of the commandments, we automatically break the first commandment. Whatever one of the other commandments we've broken the first commandment. Because we put someone else in place of God the Father. Maybe our own decision. We decided to steal, lie. God says don't do it. If we were obeying the first commandment, putting no other gods before him, we wouldn't lie or steal. But once we lie, we steal, we've decided to do that ourselves. So automatically we put ourselves in front of God. So we've broken the first commandment. So we know that we are on death row. There is no way of escape. I don't know if you can imagine yourself on death row in a prison or not, being incarcerated. But I've been visiting individuals in the prison. And oh, that's quite a sound when you go in to visit. The doors behind you clang shut. Some of the fellows I visited, the door clanged a couple of times. I had to go in through a couple of doors clanging shut behind you. No way of escape. Beyond death row. So we are. But as we read here, continuing on in this verse here in Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is a gift from God if we are willing to repent. As it says in Acts 11, verse 18. Acts 11, verse 18. If we have deep sorrow for the wrong we've done and change and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he will step in, has stepped in, and has taken that death penalty for us. As we have read here, it's a gift of God, eternal life. So let's, I have 3 points here in looking at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Number one is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ illustrates what love is, what true love really is. How is it possible for us to receive that gift? Well, it's because of the love that God the Father and Jesus Christ have. John 3:16, probably one that we have in our memory bank that we can quote, John chapter 3 and verse 16. We read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we see here, God the Father and Jesus Christ so loved the world that Christ was willing to die for us. And if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior and repent, then we can have everlasting life as well. You know, they have the greatest of love to save us. So we find the premise here in the book of John showing us about the great love that God the Father and Jesus Christ have. I believe in John, of all the gospel writers, seems to have recorded more with regard to the words of Christ concerning love than any other gospel account that we have. Let's turn over to chapter 15 now. John 15, verse 12 through 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So Jesus Christ would set the example for us. That greatest of love is to lay down our life for another. John, back in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, John's epistle, 1 John 3, verse 16. Another place where we read, where John's recording. "For by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So we are to be willing, whatever it takes, to lay down our lives for the brethren. So because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that love, there is available to us this gift of eternal life after the grave for every human being who has existed. Jesus Christ's sacrifice was able to pay the penalty for all of humanity. He did it willingly, for he loved us. Jesus Christ had to die because there was no other possibility for us to ever have eternal life. He took our sins upon himself. He volunteered to do this. Let's read some more scriptures with regard to this. John chapter 1 and verse 29. John 1:29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming down toward him." This is John the Baptist. "And said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 10. Romans chapter 6 and verse 10. "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." So Christ had it. Die just once for all, to take care of that sin. Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12. We read, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So Jesus Christ made intercession for each and every one of us. He was able to do that. Number two now. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is our sin offering. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is our sin offering. Let us take a few moments and try to imagine the monumental weight Christ had to carry beforehand. That evening before he'd be nailed to the cross. We are told, you know, in Scripture, that he was tempted in all points as we are, but never did sin. And turn with me over to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 32. Can we try to picture what it was like when he walked into the Garden of Gethsemane that evening? Knowing the weight that he must have felt. He knowing what he was about to go through. We read here in verse 32. Then they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." So he was deeply distressed, not because of physical pain, but just think of the mental anguish he may have been going through, knowing what he had to accomplish yet. Let's turn over to the book of Luke and look at the same account. Luke 22 and verse 41. Luke chapter 22 and beginning in verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So he knew what was to take place. And then notice it says, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Now, I don't think he maybe needed help for physically for his body, but maybe that angel came and gave him words of encouragement to let him know that the Father heard the prayer. It says to strengthen him. Continuing on, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." This word agony, this Greek word that is used here, is only used this one time in the Bible, this Greek word. And actually, it's spelled in the Greek, AG-O-NEE-AH. Agony. He was in agony. You know, struggle, anguish. Think of our Savior, what he had to go through. You know, he hadn't sinned. But he had to go through with this. Imagine part of that struggle was, "Father, can I make it? Can I go all the way to the end?" Remember, in one place he said, I forgot how many leagues of angels that he said he could call upon to save him if need be. But he was in the anguish, wanting to make sure that he would complete the tasks that Jesus Christ had come to do. Because after what we read here, we know according to the rest of the gospel accounts what Jesus Christ went through. on that day of Passover. The beatings, the torture, and everything. But he had to pay that price. At the moment of his death, Christ paid our debt. The Lamb of God was offered as our sin offering. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4 through 9. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 through 9. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come, and the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. So it's repeated twice here. He came to do God's will, to offer the sacrifice, which bulls and lambs could not take care of. But we do know the Israelites did have sacrifices, and they did it because of the sins. You know, when the Israelites did their offerings, it implied the confession of their sin. And when they had to offer that animal, and they were, when they offered their sacrifice, whether a bullock, lamb, dove, also that they were able to recognize that when you sin, there has to be a sacrifice, and it brings about death, the death on the animal. Now, the offerings of the animals did not remove the penalty of sin at that time. If you would, turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4 lists the offerings, the sin offering that the Israelites had to bring when they sinned. And kind of foreshadow of what Jesus Christ was to come and accomplish for us. He was that offering. So we have instructions here given to the Israelites with regard to sin offering. This type of foreshadow of what Jesus Christ did. Now let's look at the major aspects of this sin offering. The sin has been committed. And there are four different categories addressed here in Leviticus chapter 4. When you go back home, good chapter to look at and study. One area is with regard to the high priest, reference to verse 3 through 4, when the high priest sins for the whole congregation. That is made reference in Leviticus verse 13 through 14. And if a ruler sins, verse 22 through 24. And then the common individual, verse 27 through 29, are covered in this chapter. So everyone is covered. You know, anyone in the congregation of Israel there, the nation of Israel, sinned. But I want to just focus on here the whole congregation at this time to see what brings about, how it affects everyone in the congregation, how we have read that Christ came to die for all of mankind, for we all have sinned. So beginning over here in verse 13, we read, "Now if the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, Then the assembly shall offer a young bull for the sin offering and bring it. So here, recognizing, you know, sin has been committed, the whole congregation realizes they have sinned. Then once they realize it, just like ourselves, when we realize we are sin, we are come before God. Read here, they're supposed to bring a young bull and bring it to the tabernacle meeting. Now here, I don't know if you can see it all the way back there. I guess a little smaller than that clock. I can read that clock back there, but I have drawn here on the paper what the tabernacle was like there that they had in ancient Israel. Over here is the east side where there was the opening, the gate. Here, the tabernacle. Continuing on reading here. So then they bring the young bull and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting right here in this area. And the elders of the congregation shall lay hands on the head of the bull before the Lord. Then the bull shall be killed before the Lord. The bull killed out in this area. Then the anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle of meeting. This right here in this area. Then the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. So the bull was killed, and this is the burnt offering right there. Some of you may have a diagram of the tabernacle in your Bible. That's where I got my tabernacle out of my Schofield. So this is the bronze burnt offering right here, where they took the burnt offering. The bull is killed, and the priest takes some of the blood, and he goes in here to the altar of incense and applies it right there. This is within the holy place. Now, this end of this is the most holy place. And there's this curtain here that goes between the most holy place and the holy place. Now, the priest, as we know, on the Day of Atonement, only went beyond this curtain once on the Day of Atonement. So, but we had this altar of incense. So, as we read here in Leviticus 16, takes some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle meeting. Then the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. That's this veil right here. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall pour the remaining blood of the base of the altar of the burnt offering. So the rest of the blood was just poured here on the ground, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. He shall take all the fat from it and burn it on the altar. Just the fat of the animal is burned on the altar. And he shall do with a bull as he did with a bull as a sin offering. Thus he shall do it. Well, we have to go back a little earlier in this chapter to know what the priest did with the bull. Because the bull for the sin offering for a priest or the congregation was not burnt on that burnt offering. The bull would be taken out of the camp, outside the camp area, it says, and to be burned. We read that over here in, let's go back to verse 8. He shall take from it all the fat of the bull as a sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails and the fat which is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys. He shall remove it. As it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering, the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. So that is what was be burnt there at the offering right there, burnt offering. But the bull's hide and all its flesh with its head and legs and its entrails and offal, the whole bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. So the rest of the bull was taken outside the tabernacle to an area where they must have had the ashes from the offerings that they did inside the tabernacle. And that is where the rest of the bull was supposed to be burned, outside the camp. Symbolic of what we'll read here a little later with regards to Jesus Christ. there. Now, if you noticed here, reading here, that what was brought in was an animal, not a sweet savor, but the animal was without blemish that was brought in there to be offered, as we read here. Just as Jesus Christ, as we read over here and hold your place here, we'll come back to Leviticus chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, where we read, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his footsteps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So here is Christ. He was able to be the sacrifice, but he was without blemish. As it says, the sacrifice was, the animal that was brought was to be without blemish, symbolizing Jesus Christ, who is without sin. So then he was brought. And going back to Leviticus chapter 4 now, realize that there, when the sacrifice was brought, either the priest or the individuals had to lay hands on that offering that came, the bull. You know, it was, this is our offering, just like us. Do we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? We have to accept him, bring him, as he is our Savior. Acknowledge he is our Savior. For as we read over here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It's only Jesus Christ, our Savior. And everyone who desires eternal life has to recognize that Jesus Christ is his or her Savior. There is no other name where there is Savior. No statue, no symbol, no cross, no wind, no trees, no rocks, our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and him only. With regards to killing of the offering was burnt outside the camp. Notice what it says in verse in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. Matthew 27 and verse 46. Well, we read, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So this was taking place, you know, out there on Golgotha. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. 46. "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last." So Jesus Christ You know what? We read at that one moment, God the Father had forsaken him. Why? Because at that time, Jesus Christ had taken the sins of all of mankind upon himself. And sin is not present in the most holy of holies or around God the Father. No sin allowed there at that time. That is why he said what he said, and that is why we'll read a little later here, one of the scriptures, I know I'm going to come to it, about that he was crucified outside the camp. His sin was not allowed. And that is why that offering there for the sin offering was burnt outside the camp area for the ancient Israelite so that they could see that. Continuing on now over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 11 through 12. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So here, as the author brings out, Christ was crucified outside the camp, just as they crucified or killed that animal outside the camp in ancient Israel, is where sin is. Chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, which the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies with the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead work to serve the living God? So Christ's blood made it possible. Remember we read about the priest sprinkling the blood before the veil? Back there in the tabernacle. Well, Christ's blood was what made it possible as well for us to be able to approach God the Father. Chapter 10, verse 19 through 22 here in Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. Okay, Christ died. His blood made it possible. If we accept him as our Savior and repent, that we can approach God the Father, to his very throne. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh. In other words, the veil that was there, showed you there with the tabernacle. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from our evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Yes. Let's remember what Christ did for us there. Our bodies washed with pure water. What he did for us. Our conscience. You know, part of the Passover service we will be going through has to do when Christ, remember, said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. We're washed there with the blood of Jesus Christ to purify us. We should have Christ living within us. Have that pure mind now. And we do not want to sin or go the way of sinning. Though we are told here. As you recall there, when Christ did die, the veil in the temple was torn in half. You know, make it available to get into the Holy of Holies. Symbolic. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17 through 20. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So we have that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as the Lamb, predestined from the beginning, foundation of the world, that he would be our sacrifice. So we can be grateful for what we have, Jesus Christ, our sacrifice for us. So as we read back there in Leviticus chapter 4, there's, I encourage you to go back and take time to read that whole chapter. You know, when the congregation recognized they had a sin, they had sin, they brought a bull. The priest laid his hands on the bull, they killed the bull. And then certain things of the bull was there on the burnt offering, but the rest was burnt out of the camp, all symbolizing Jesus Christ. But the blood of that bull was also taken and sprinkled on the veil and also on the altar of incense. The blood was put. All symbolic of Jesus Christ, what he would do for us. John chapter 1. Now in verse 12, now we're on to my third point. We just have one scripture here with regard to that. The point being, accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ reconciles us to God our Father. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to come, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've been reconciled to God, our Father. We can come to God, our Father. And when we do that in our prayer, hopefully we are thankful that we have our elder brother there at his right hand. And we can thank Christ for his sacrifice. So we can see then today that we have viewed, I hope, has been a help in the process of self-examination, as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before we take the Passover, to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we read and study, you know, this is personal, what we have to do. We can't do it for someone else. Someone else can't take the Passover for us. We each individually have to consider our relationship with Jesus Christ, that sacrifice, and recognize Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. So only because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ do we have a future beyond the grave. Let us always be thankful to our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ for their love.